Hafaday, and welcome to today's edition of Hearts of Harvest.
Out of those previous six churches, all of those churches had some kind of commendation, except for one, and that was Laodicea.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the pastor of Harvest Baptist Church, and our speaker for Heart of Harvest, a daily program brought to you by Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. Our prayer is that as you listen to these lessons, you will understand the heart of harvest, and that these messages from the Word of God will help you to develop a heart for God. Today, Pastor continues our study of the book of Revelation with a part of a message called Understanding End Times in Our Times.
Last week, we started into the book of Revelation. We're really not going to be looking at it as in-depth as what we'd like to, but at least the goal is that you would have a good understanding of the revelation of who Jesus Christ really is. And this book is not to conceal who he is and all the events, it's to reveal it all. And so last week we started with really just the first nine verses about the central person, which is who Christ is, and the very purpose of the Word of God is to unveil. That's the very word we get revelation or apocalypse. We get a bad connotation of that word, but it's actually a good one, as it is of unveiling a piece of art, something valuable, but this is who Christ is. And then the very promise that you're blessed if you read the book, and then finally the very prophecies that we'll be looking at in the days ahead. And I hope it'll be able to help you. I'd like to today just look ahead a little bit, and again, we're not going to be able to get an in-depth study of every verse, but I'd like to give to you very simply what I see to be, here's a simple outline, this would be an explanation, and you find it in verse 19. Number one, you find in verse 19, the Bible says that write these things which you've seen. And John is talking about Christ and the church age. That's chapters 1 through 3. And John then takes seven historical churches and expands that. These churches were historical sites in the day of Paul. Those seven locations all had events. So when we read chapter 2 and 3, you can read it from the historical point of view. They were addressed to existing churches. They dealt with real problems. Then you end up finding on a symbolic way. And I have a tendency to look at these seven churches containing basically an embryonic form of history of church on the earth. When you look at the last 1900 years, you'll see the patterns of the church that was birthed in Acts 2. And over the next, really, 2,000 years between then and now, you'll find the church going through historical eras. That I wonder if these churches are just symbolic of God giving us what was going to happen over the next couple of thousand years. That's how I want to look at it. And then lastly, these seven churches really become very personal. Because as one author made the statement, although these seven churches were actual historical churches in Asia Minor, they represent the types of churches that perennially exist throughout the church age. And what Christ says to these churches are relevant in all times. Revelation chapter 2. Look, if you would, he starts with Ephesus. Ephesus, notice if you would, was from 30 to 100. That was the apostolic church. You end up finding him making some commendation, but here's a very descriptive term. When he says in verse 5, he says, listen, I'm giving you all the things I see about you that are great, but then he makes the statement, remember therefore from whence thou art fallen. Secondly, he moves up from Ephesus, and he now moves up about 30 miles up to Smyrna. And that Smyrna church was a very fearful church. It was a church that I think historically represents the next couple of hundred years in church history. The Lord's letter underlined the faithfulness as well as the fearfulness of that Smyrna believers. And for those next couple hundred years, the church went from the birth of the church to the apostles being there, and they went for the next couple hundred years being greatly persecuted. Listen, till Constantine came. And he totally changed the tables. And you move from the church of being one that was an apostolic church to a persecuted church to now what represents Pergamos as a state church. And for the next couple hundred years, you find Pergamos now, the historical city that became symbolic, a fourth area, and that's represented by Thyatira. And he says, you now, Thyatira itself, once a great military city, Look in chapter 2, verse 18 to 29. You find a snapshot of what we would call the false church. And so the fact is, listen, what he's saying is during the church age and this period of time, you found them being false. You move from an apostolic church to a persecuted church to a state church, and I don't know that I use the word, but I would use the word papal church. And during that church history, you end up finding the church had got so organized that they end up slowly shifting doctrine. So now what would be good works because of salvation became good works for salvation. And you have to keep doing things in order to maintain your relationship with Christ. Listen, this was the area where terms were the same, definitions slowly got changed. And this is why when I read these letters, including to Sardis, you find in Sardis now what we would call a reformed church. The Reformation took place. It became moving from a fallen church to a fearful church to a faltering church to a false church to what we would call a fruitless church. You find that in chapter 3, verse 1, and you find the words here, a name that thou livest, but is dead. And all of these were churches that, again, had some commendation to it. But he says, in essence, yeah, your name is alive, but all your works are dead. And he named it, it's interesting, listen, because you find the symbolism of a city that was once the capital of Lydia. It was fabulously wealthy. And it looked from a little distance to the north, to this open plain, where this Sardis had this haughty, unconquerable aspect dominating the majestic, broad valley. But it was an appearance without reality. It was an outward show of strength undermined by neglect and careless confidence. And twice in its history, it was plundered by enemies because of the lack of watchfulness. And the bottom line is that you end up finding the church now being just like that. And so you find John now penning these letters that were to be written and then read by the church. But now we look and we go, you know what? You can see history playing out. Dr. Larkin, an old school preacher that's since gone to be with the Lord, wisely noted that any ministry, this same can happen, where it starts with a man, then it gets a movement, then it's a machine, and then ultimately it just is a monument. You can see it outwardly, but there's no life in it. And I'm going to tell you something. That is one of our greatest dangers, and that's why John penned it, and that's why the Holy Spirit gave it, because he's saying, listen, don't let your personal religion become so organized and so structured and so unmoving that you miss the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will work as we read the Spirit of God who spoke through the leaders, the messengers, and the candlesticks were representative of the churches. There were seven of them. And the Spirit of God will always work through the Word of God. And then let's finish these last two. But I hope it'll help you to realize that when John now took that letter to Philadelphia, it represents what I would call the missionary church, or as one author called it, the feeble church. Because this very city, the king of Pergamos, who intended to make Philadelphia a center of the Greco-Asiatic civilization, the means of spreading the Greek language and the customs, all of this was founded and promoted this unity of spirit and customs and loyalty. The very native tongue had ceased to be spoken in Lydia. Greek was the only language of the country, and that's why you find in chapter 3, Philadelphia, verse 8, he uses the key term, I know thy works, I've set before thee an open door. You see, the church there was feeble, but it was also had an open door, and that's what you find historically in the church. There were great missionary endeavors going on during this period of time. That's where you read stories, everyone from a Hudson Taylor to an Amy Carmichael, to an Adoniram Judson, all of those difference makers, most of those were in this time period. And so it was that you end up finding the last church that John wrote to and wrote about was a letter from that postman from Patmos to Laodicea. It was the last on that seven church tour, and this is where you end up finding Laodicea, which was an unbelievable prosperity abounding city. And actually, in 62 A.D., an earthquake hit. This was 35 years before John was penning these words. And they didn't take any proceeds or any monies from Rome. They rebuilt it themselves. And they were so proud of all that they did that the Laodicean bankers were famous, even in Rome, because of it. They had monies coming in with the colored wools they were producing. The medical school was there, renowned for the manufacturing of special eye ointment. All of these things reflected the Lord's words when he said to the Laodicea, you're increased with goods, you have need of nothing. And he says in chapter 3, verse 14, that you had a true witness, but you've become, verse 16, lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. Most all of you, if you've been in church at any time or another, have heard messages on this. And the reason you have is because for that particular metaphor, the water, cold, refreshing water pumped out of Hierapolis, came down the aqueduct and ended up into the city of Laodicea. But the problem was between when it came out of that cold, refreshing spring, by the time it went through the aqueduct all the way to Laodicea, now it wasn't hot and it certainly wasn't cold. It was lukewarm and there were particles that picked up in the open aqueduct that came through and they had to filter it out. And he says, just like that water, that's exactly what you are to me. And man, that was stinging words. Out of those previous six churches, all of those churches had some kind of commendation except for one, and that was Laodicea. And as I read this years ago and restudied it recently, I'm reminded again that this could be historically exactly where the church is no longer an apostolic or persecuted or a state church or a papal church, a reformed church, a missionary church. This is a fashionable church. This is the apostate church. Could it be over the last 100 years that we have moved into this state where we find primarily churches just like this? And it's kind of a scary thought when you look at all of this to realize that these are recurring tendencies, and there are tendencies for us. And John here, under the inspiration of Scripture, gives us this beautiful picture, which I think is one of the best known texts in the Bible. When you find it in verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking. And if any man hear my voice and you'll open the door, I'm going to come into you. And so wisely noted in this figurative language that what he's saying, the Lord is right outside that local church at Laodicea. He's pleading for that individual to give him his rightful place. He's not a poor beggar. He's the owner of the house. And in that day, doors had the latches, but they were on the inside. And the only way you could get in was to knock on the door and the person on the inside opened. I don't know the mystery between man's will and God's sovereign plan, but I do know that this is such a beautiful picture of, as one author states, it's spoken to believers. The figurative language is for that evangelistic insight to reach those members in that materialistic church. And I'm going to tell you, as I look at past history, you look at history. I just went over that in the last about 14 minutes. You will end up finding that that is what and how the church is today. And this is why John gave it to us. So notice the words that he said to every church. He said in Revelations 3:22, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches.
Thank you for listening in to today's message with Pastor Marty Heron on Heart of Harvest. This daily program is brought to you by Harvest Ministries, located on the island of Guam. If you'd like more information or a copy of today's message, you can always write to Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's Heart of Harvest, P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921, or call area code 671-477-6341. That number once again, 671-477-6341. You can always visit our website at hbcguam.net, where you'll find a podcast of today's program. That's hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening in, and be sure to join us at this same time tomorrow for the next edition of Heart of Harvest.